Last time on Dreams of Another Woman's Star.
What hit us exactly?
That is... well, that's frankly the issue. Damage is consistent with a massive explosion just off the hull.
One of the drones?
That's just it. The three drones were a quarter kilometer away when we fired. Our sensors indicate two of them were destroyed. The third one also appears to have exploded. But it was suddenly and inexplicably not in the same location. Instead of exploding far away from the ship, it collided with one of our missiles almost before it had fully left the barrel.
There's no one here on the ship who shouldn't be, correct?
Not unless you count the survivors of the EGAC ship we picked up out of their escape pods.
Say that again, slowly. The idea is that dark energy increases the space between things. That's why we're focusing it on this little tank of water.
If we keep temperature and pressure the same, the volume of the water shouldn't change. But if it does, it's a good sign that we introduce more space between the water molecules.
Harry, the volume went down. Not by much, but there's less water in the tank. Temperature and pressure are the same, so where did...
Guys? Is it relevant that my glasses just got wet?
I am going to this interrogation on the off chance that they provide me with any tactical information. You are coming on the off chance that they provide any technical information. Hello. Gerda Lee, Commandant, Alpha 761 Tango.
Gerda Lee, Commandant, Alpha 761 Tango.
So that is a no. You won't tell us about the drones which struck the ship.
Gerda Lee, Commandant, Alpha 761 Tango.
We've been hailing the EGAC Consortium to let them know we picked up survivors from your ship. Our communications have gone unanswered, so I have no reason to believe they're going to pull any punches. You might want to provide us with a strategy to use against those drones. If we aren't lucky next time, and this ship goes down, you and the remainder of your crew will be joining us.
Gerda Lee, Commandant, Alpha 769 Tango.
Commandant, it's not just your life or the lives on board this ship. We collected almost a dozen life pods from the wreckage of your ship. Your casualties are already quite high. Do you want to make it a complete slaughter?
Gerda Lee, Commandant, Alpha 769 Tango.
It was 6-1 Tango a minute ago.
Gerda Lee, Commandant, Alpha 76.
Oh, stop it! You've been giving us the classic name, rank, and serial number. But EGAC doesn't use serial numbers, do they?
Congratulations. You've successfully collected some data about the EGAC Consortium. Well done. You're truly master interrogators.
Commandant.
Oh, and you're not done yet. Wonderful.
Actually, I think we might be. We came to you as the highest-ranked survivor, but I don't have time for this kind of recalcitrance. Shut her in the brig, and we'll have security interview the others.
Good luck with that.
We don't need luck. We just need one person who has something approaching survival instincts. They'll tell us everything they know.
Probably true. Everything they know.
Well, that answers that question.
Oh? Which question might that be?
Our interviews with the remainder of your crew have gone a little more smoothly than this one.
I thought the term was interrogation.
We found it to be an astounding coincidence that your survivors are security officers and a handful of non-essential personnel. No engineers, no pilots, no one with any knowledge of how the ship or the drones functioned.
It struck me as a pretty poor ship design. You generally want to have escape pods in a place where the people who make the ship go can escape. But then we examined the energy cells of your security officer's weapons. They were partially discharged.
Hitomi didn't wish to believe that you would order your security forces to execute anyone who might have information about your ship before they got on board the escape pods. I was fairly certain.
And the smugness in your answer about who else on your ship could give us the information we want has confirmed that rather definitively.
So now I suppose I'm in for more of the Alliance's signature lectures on how inappropriate you think my priorities might be.
No. This is where we leave. When you're ready to tell us what we want, you can inform our security team.
Don't hold your breath.
Can we go? I mean, she makes it sound like talking to someone who ordered the murder of her crew is something we want to do.
We can go. She'll tell us eventually.
Keep telling yourself that.
Commandant, I'm going to disillusion you just a little bit. Not only will it save time, but it will provide me with more than a little personal satisfaction. You will talk to us. I know this. Because if you really were as fanatical about protecting the information as you want us to think, you wouldn't be here. You'd have stayed on your ship, or ordered one of your security officers to end your life. But you were too much of a coward for that. So when you finally figure out that the only way you get to stay alive is if this ship makes it through this mission, then you can reach out to us at any time.
Okay, I'm really sorry, but I need you back now.
Huh?
Dr. Astrid, I need you awake and in this reality. Nick bought us some time, but now you need to rejoin the land of the non-space people.
You let me fall asleep?
If it were up to me, you'd still be asleep. You were so excited, you were incoherent. You would ask me half a question, find the answer before you finish the sentence, and then just use the word... oh, sporadically and with increasing emphasis for about 5 minutes. If you didn't go to sleep, I probably would have chloroformed you.
Where would you have gotten chloroform?
Okay, so not awake enough to understand hyperbole. Good to know. This is a glass of water. Drink this and wake up a bit more before the EGAC people get here.
What?
I imagine it slipped your mind, but in addition to the day you may have made one of the greatest scientific breakthroughs in human history... today is also the day the bigwigs at EGAC are here touring the building.
Oh, dear.
There she is.
I need coffee.
You need a lot of things, but coffee is not on that list. We're looking for you to slow down and focus. Finish the water. Rub the sleep out of your eyes. Take a second to think back on what we've done today. If you were the kind of woman who wore makeup, I'd tell you to go fix it up.
Do I look okay for meeting new people?
Yeah, you probably don't want to focus on that.
Dr. Astrid, Dr. London, is now a good time?
By that he means, are we interrupting?
No. No, not at all.
We might have some really good news.
So Nick tells us.
This is Arthur Torvin, Vice President of R&D for EGAC. And Mindy Peters is here from Legal.
So is it true there's been a big breakthrough on this project?
Yes.
No. All right.
Sorry. I'm being pedantic. We had a result, an extremely positive result, but I wouldn't classify it as a breakthrough.
You might do well to ask her if there's anything she would classify as a breakthrough, because my guess is the answer is nothing at all.
He's probably right. This is possibly the weirdest part of the scientific process. The data from the experiment seems pretty clear, but it doesn't mean anything.
Was there something wrong with the experiment?
Not that I can tell.
Then why do you say it doesn't mean anything?
Or for that matter, why did you even do the experiment?
Do you know who Pons and Fleischmann are?
The scientists who declared that they had discovered cold fusion. So the concern is with the repeatability of the experiment, I take it?
I don't follow.
Dr. Astrid is a bit of a stickler when it comes to the scientific method. I don't pretend to understand most of her job. Or much of... any of it, if I'm being honest. But the part I definitely understand is what it takes before Dr. Astrid will say you've proven anything. Until someone else runs the same experiment and gets similar results, this isn't a successful experiment.
I'm not prepared to die on that same hill, by the way. I will call this a breakthrough and refer to any future tests as confirmation that this absolutely worked.
But it's absolutely necessary to retest this.
If someone designed a new plane, and they said they got it to fly one time, would you build 10 more of those planes? Or would you want to be sure that it wasn't the kind of plane that can only fly once?
So, yes, Mindy, it's 100% necessary.
I get your point. This is the dark matter experiment we were talking about earlier.
Dark energy.
And those are different?
I'm just going to say the word yes, because we can explain the difference, but I'm not sure you care all that much.
Not especially, now that you mention it. I seem to recall there's not any government funding behind this research. Am I right?
None at the moment. This was supposed to be a proof of concept before we put together the grant proposal. But I think we jumped from looking at the stars to having a working lunar module.
Potentially.
I'm okay with a potential lunar module when we've put almost nothing behind this project yet. Just one other question. What kind of regulations are there for working with dark energy?
At this point, we haven't exactly proven this is really dark energy.
But we can work on designing experiments to prove that once the technology is shown to have reliable results. At that point...
If this is dark energy, then it's not a force anyone's ever used before. I don't see how there could be any regulations.
I see.
This is not the textbook way of handling a prisoner.
Agreed.
Captain, permission to speak freely.
Dora, are you planning to say something either one of us may regret?
I have no intention of regretting what I might say about this prisoner.
You want to tell me what you think of Commandant Lee?
I actually had some suggestions.
Understood. When we're next off shift together, I want you to join me with a drink in your hand and tell me all about it when it's just two people blowing off steam over a friendly drink. You can see why that's a better option than my head of security making inappropriate suggestions about the treatment of a prisoner aboard an Alliance ship while on duty. Not that I have any direct knowledge that you were going to do something along those lines.
We are clear, Captain.
Good enough. Let's get this over with.
What was that about?
Did you hear it being about anything?
I absolutely did not. I wonder why.
I might hypothesize that Dora would object to any order which turns security personnel like herself into murderers. If I were the type of person who hypothesized. Ambassador Golnix, are you ready?
If it's all right that I stop working very hard not to notice things I might be asked about later, then yes, let us begin.
I don't know if you've done this before, but the whole concept of let her stew until she cracks doesn't work well if you don't leave me alone.
This is more of a courtesy visit. When we last left, we had offered to return when you were ready to provide us with information.
Well, I don't recall saying I would do that, so why are you here?
To tell you, the offer is off the table. Your cooperation is no longer needed.
It takes three of you to tell me this?
I'm only here for the end bit. Once your new status is made clear to you, I will take care of transferring you to a less private cell.
Oh. Well, I truly appreciate that. Look, as bluffs go, this is a low-quality one. You don't need information from me anymore? You managed to parse through how the drones work in a few hours' time? Yeah, I'm skeptical.
Oh, we don't know how the drones work. We simply stopped caring.
Oh? And why is that?
Because we blew them up.
What?
Blew. Them. Up. There was a threat to my ship. I dealt with it.
If the drones had been something you could use at will, we would have encountered them before, so we knew you had a limited supply. Our sensors are considerably better than EGAC's, and we located a cluster of them not far from Grovel's moon. Captain Astrid had given orders to destroy them on sight. We did.
Do you know what you've done?
If we don't, that's basically on you. Now, did you want to have a conversation about the transport ships?
What?
Not really sure what you call them, but... Well, your ships are more or less designed the same way ours are. Just way worse. We have technological advances from several hundred star systems more than the EGAC Consortium, so ship to ship, we can usually outfly, outgun, and outperform you. But you have these transport ships. Whenever your fleet is about to go somewhere which requires faster-than-light travel, you hook all of your ships up to these transport vessels. The thing is, unlike your other ships, I can't tell how the transport vessels work. Specifically, the structures here, here, and here make no sense from a design standpoint. Did you want to explain that? I realize that the only reason you'd do so would be if you wanted to turn traitor and make your life more comfortable now that you're a permanent prisoner of the Alliance. Then I remembered what you did to your own crew and decided I was okay asking anyway.
How many of the drones did you destroy?
All of them.
No, not in the cluster by the moon. There were a few being transported on the outside of some of our cargo ships.
Yes. There were.
You can't have blown...
I did. And I've done harder things since I woke up this morning. We didn't even have to get within range of a counteroffensive. When we first met, you called this ship a floating pile of ammunition. So I don't know how you managed to underestimate us. But apparently you did.
You need to patch me through to Fleet Command.
Not possible.
This is not a negotiation tactic. I need to speak to someone to see what the next step is now that the drones are gone. If I don't, things are going to get a lot worse than you can possibly imagine.
Well, the next step was evacuation.
What?
They left. They attached the fleet to the transport vessels, and they retreated.
They did what?
Hey, I'm still supposed to wake you if I find you having the visions, right?
Delusions. We should probably start calling them that.
You sure?
No.
So you've been home long enough to take a nap. That's an outlier. Something happened?
A lot of somethings. An experiment gave us a result we didn't expect.
A good result? Bad? Weird? Did something happen with the new owners?
It was better than we could have expected. The results haven't been confirmed, but all the data... I don't want to get my hopes up, but Harry and I might have cracked dark energy.
Well, you sound way too surprised for someone who's been trying to do exactly that for almost as long as we've been married.
I know. I just...
Never quite got around to believing in yourself the way everyone who knows you does?
I guess not. But then things got weird.
Weird how?
So, there aren't currently any regulations in the use of dark energy. I guess for the same reasons there are no regulations on the using of a magic wand. They never expected to need them. But the thing is, the new owners are convinced there will only be no regulations until word gets out. So, they might just never let word get out.
Wait, what does that mean?
With the non-disclosure and non-compete clauses in my contract, it means I can't tell anyone. Technically, I wasn't even supposed to tell you. Honey, I may have made a discovery which could earn me a Nobel Prize. Except it won't. Because if EGAC gets their way, no one will ever know about this.
You have been listening to Dreams of Another Woman's Star, Episode 4, Name, Rank, and Serial Number. Produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Captain Astrid and Dr. Amy Astrid were Andy Gastengee. Goethe Lee was Brianna Kuby. Ambassador Gulnix was Andrew Dell. Hitomi was Rebecca Scheimer. Dr. Harry London was Aaron Manga-White. Nick was Rick Tennant. Arthur Torvin was Ray Greenley. Mindy Peters was Liz Music. Dora was Dana Bonner Andreessen. Anthony Astrid was Adam Gastengee. Music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you later.